Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. As Tulsa Public Schools prepares for a new school year beginning on Monday, there are many uncertainties, but one thing is certain. This school year begins unlike any other school year before. Students will experience distanced virtual learning for the first 9 weeks, but others are enrolled in the district's new virtual academy, which will last for the entire first semester. Online learning will be different this fall, much different from last spring when it was thrown together in the course of a week, and expectations will be greater. Joining me is Jorge Robles, the Chief Operating Officer of the Tulsa Public Schools, who will explain those differences this fall and what the district is watching for with the pandemic in order to resume in-person instruction. He'll also share with what parents need to know as the school year begins on Monday. Jorge Robles is my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Jorge Robles, so welcome to Studio Tulsa again. Thanks very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
As Tulsa Public Schools prepares to start a new school year, again, another very different school year than any other that TPS has started, with distance learning throughout the district, a virtual academy for some students. What is it important for parents to know as we enter into this new school year?
Well, I think it's really important for parents to know that the decision that our board made, and based on the recommendation from the superintendent around opening up the school year on distance learning, is a response to our priority on safety and the fact that we have set that as our number one priority to make sure that our students, our team members, our families will be safe during this pandemic. And given the conditions that we continue to see in Tulsa County, we felt that starting on distance learning was the foundation of a plan to keep everyone safe until we are in under conditions that allow us to have kids back. So we want to have our kids back in person in school. We know that that's what families want as well, but we also know and have a responsibility to make sure that everyone is safe during this period of time while we engage our students in high-quality learning.
Now, I would imagine that through the summer, when the plan was to come back in some form, that you put in lots of protocols for safety in all of the schools. Will you be using the first 9 weeks to further refine that, or do you feel like you have good protocols in place once the positive rate or whatever the factors you're concerning on what determines when kids will come back into the classroom meet that threshold? Can you maybe talk about what a classroom might look like at some point when kids are able to come back to school?
Absolutely. So we have been working really hard and really grateful for our teams and setting up a lot of different safety practices and protocols that are already in place, as we have, several teachers and staff that are at the schools. And we know that in a few schools we'll be supporting exceptional students and self-contained programs, so that we will have a very small group of students at a few schools. And so we've put a lot of different safety practices and protocols to make sure that we have everyone safe now, but also these practices will help us when we're able to return back in person. And those span from essentially our requirements on everyone having and providing face coverings that will keep everyone safe. And we know that that's the number one essentially measure that we can put in place regarding effectiveness of keeping folks from exposure. We have put in place health self-screening, screening stations to check for temperature for adults, make sure that there are no individuals that are coming into our buildings that either have symptoms or a temperature of 100.4 or above. We have also set up protocols for our buses, where we have established ways to have social distancing within the buses by alternating seating and having that safe distance, the requirements to wear masks when kids get on the bus. available hand sanitizer and available ventilation. We've also, thanks to the support that we have received from Tulsans in the past, approving the 2015 bond, we have for several years been working on our air quality and ventilation systems, which actually has allowed us to be in a very good position at this point in time to leverage and enhance the ventilation systems that we have. So we've put a lot of measures in place to improve the air quality through our ventilation systems. We have established a lot of protocols and resources at our schools, like signage to make sure that appropriate social distancing and practices are observed, hand washing stations, hand sanitizer dispensers. We've acquired additional equipment for our intensified cleaning practices, where we biospray different areas in the event that there is a case of COVID, and just regularly we have more frequent and test practices. So we've put a lot of things in place, obviously, in addition to starting in this distance learning mode. So as time progresses, and if, hopefully conditions do change in the Tulsa area and we feel that it's safe for us to bring kids back in either a hybrid or a full in-person, these practices will continue on, and we will also have physical social distancing set up at our schools to make sure that kids are not exposed, and the classrooms are set up properly. We've changed our meal distribution practices. Right now, social distancing, we're going to provide the meals in a grab-and-go fashion. When we have students back, we will have meals delivered, individually packaged into the classrooms. So there is no congregation of students in cafeterias. I can go on and on. There's right. A lot of different things that we're putting in place that will serve now and then.
But of course, right now it's only serving just a few students that are coming back, like those with exceptional needs. And so the rest of students are starting distancing learning, and others are doing the virtual academy for the first semester. Back to my first question, though, about what do parents need to know? And you said, safety is first and foremost. This is why we made the decision we made. But are you doing outreach to parents to help them in helping make, keep their kids on task during the day? Is there any sort of outreach to parents to help them be essentially, if not a teacher, a teacher's aide?
Yes. Appreciate the question. We have been doing and sharing a lot of information, both as a district as well as the individual schools, on sharing the information on what do they need to be doing to get ready for this different school year. We have held a number of Zoom calls with parents to help them understand what their kids are going to be experiencing, as well as help parents understand how they can monitor their kids' engagement in the different, work during distance learning. So we've held Zoom meetings where we're teaching parents how to log into, the Canvas platform where kids are going to be engaging on all their learning and courses, as well as we shared a lot of information, and we will during the back-to-school week next week, where families are going to go in, get their Chromebook, their hotspot if that's necessary, a lot of the learning material they'll need to access, and a lot of guidance and instructions on what do they need to be doing, as well as how they can support their students. We've been doing outreach through also partnering with different community organizations to engage with families and make sure that they have access to the critical information that they're going to need. And we'll continue to do that. We'll continue to do that, sort of setting up ways for families to make sure that they get answers to their questions and support as their kiddos are engaging in this distance learning.
I'm glad you mentioned hotspots and computer notebooks. Of course, we know last spring, you know, there was this mass send out of computer notebooks. But as you start the school year, do you feel like that every student in the TPS system has access to a Wi-Fi connection of some sort, be it a hotspot or actual Wi-Fi, and you know, the computer notebook to be able to follow class instruction?
Yeah, that was one of the things that were was very evident during the spring, where we essentially had to quickly react and put distance learning in place to keep kids engaged while we were dealing with the pandemic. And so the team has been working very, very hard to have the both, you know, the computer Chromebook available for every student. And we've worked diligently, and we've partnered with the city to make sure that Wi-Fi and or hotspots where necessary are available to our families. So again, thankful to Tulsans who've approved our bond packages, we've been able to, you know, be in a position where we can and will provide a Chromebook to every student. And for those families who need access to internet through a hotspot, we'll be delivering those to the families as well. So we're in a very good position, and we've worked hard to make those available. And now the process to get those in the hands of families is what we're focused on for next week. So back to your question around what families need to know is to please make sure that they participate in the back-to-school week next week. Some of our high schools have started yesterday and today, and it's really important that families engage back to retrieve this you know, the equipment, the material, the guidance over the next week. And there's a ton of information and details around that we've sent out to families, and also we have in our TulsaSchools.org/back-to-school website has all the information that they would want to know or need to know is being housed there as well, so they can source it and understand how to go to the school, when do they need to go to the school to pick up all of this, so that then we can have it in the hands of the students and they can engage in the quality learning.
Of course, as you well know, a household in poverty, you probably don't have internet within the house. Perhaps you might have a phone that serves as that internet hub, if that. So getting that information out there becomes critical. Sounds like you're using multiple streams to reach families. So at least you get them to the back-to-school event so we can get the equipment in the hands of the child.
We have, and you're correct. You know, one of the other things that we've learned through this pandemic is that it has disproportionately impacted our families who are in the economically disadvantaged category, and we have taken extra steps to make sure that we are putting the resources and the information available to them in ways that they can access it. So that is something that is part of our core values, and we will continue to work hard to make sure that every family has the opportunity to have their students connect to learning, and that the resources that they need is not a barrier. Obviously, we can't solve for everything, but we've been working with great partners and with the city to make sure that we're off to a great start for the school year.
My guest today is Jorge Robles, the Chief Operating Officer of the Tulsa Public Schools, as Tulsa Public Schools prepares to open virtually next Monday. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa as we talk about how things will be different this beginning of this school year. And one of the things I was interested in is how will instruction differ this fall from last spring? As everyone knows, I mean, this pandemic shut down things within a matter of a week. I imagine it was a frantic triage sort of instructional system that was cobbled together within the course of a week or so. You had spring break week basically to change your, you know, instructional platform completely. I would think that even though the plan was to come back to school in the fall, there were contingency plans made that a great deal more planning into a virtual platform. Can you tell us how things will be different in the instruction this fall from last spring?
Absolutely. And you're correct. The teams have been working hard on essentially being ready for, you know, three ways of opening school this year, anticipating that we weren't going to know exactly what the conditions were going to be leading up to the start of the school year, plus standing up a virtual academy that we know that for some families that is a need. They don't have an option, essentially, to engage in person if that were going to be the case. So teams are working really hard. And there's a number of differences on how instruction should look different. I mean, the teams have been investing a lot of time on working with our educators to prepare appropriately, where we have essentially well-designed spaces for distance instruction, where in the spring, essentially, we, as you pointed out, we had to react and assemble things, you know, very quickly, and there wasn't the time to actually put things in a well-designed and coherent fashion. So this time, students and families will see a very different approach where, you know, kiddos can have a single sign-on to the environment where they're going to be engaging with the different tools and resources. So there's a well-designed space in the way that kids are going to access instruction. We have a purposeful full day of school where in the spring kids experience shortened instructional days. This time we've planned full days that kids are going to be engaged in different fashions. This is not kids being in front of a screen the entire time listening to somebody, but an alternation of independent work for certain classes, small group Zoom interactions with teachers, full class instruction. So there is a well-designed set of activities in for their coursework that will have them engage in a full-day fashion. We've also have adopted, curriculum and digital programs that are, aligned with the quality learning that we want kids to access, where, by contrast, in the spring, we pulled together different resources that were available to us at this point. This time, we had time to assemble something that is high quality and that we feel very confident is going to provide a different experience for kids. A big one is during the spring, we made a decision to froze grades and just focus on making sure that kids' engagement, they could only improve their grading, but we were not engaging gradings given the limitations on the engagement and sort of the reactive nature of how we had to put together. Now, during this distance learning mode, assignments will be graded. There is a continuous focus on specific feedback so the kids grow and learn, and assessments are essentially focused on helping them get better. But that we know from research makes a huge difference on how students engage in the learning day when they're getting feedback through their assignments being graded and evaluated by the teacher. So that's going to be a huge difference. And we've also put in place ways to monitor attendance, and we are going to monitor attendance by the way that kids engage in doing work during the week, which is a good way for us to focus on what matters, which is the kids engaging in learning. And through that, we're going to know if they're participating, if they're, engaging on what we're asking them to do. And, we are going to have a more seamless way for them to engage where we have a common dashboard, a single login. We've set up tutorials to help them, to help kids and families know how to do that. We have helplines set in place. And by giving every student, we've been encouraging every family that even if they have a computer that their students can access at home, that they do go and participate in the back-to-school week and get a computer from the district that's going to allow us to push upgrades, push additional tools into every student's computer more easily, and then minimize the issues, the number of issues that they could experience.
We had an educational expert who actually said one of the things about this pandemic is it offers education a way to change some of the strategies that the traditional approach to school has, you know, it has some effectiveness, but there's some places where it's not as effective. He said one of the things this pandemic offers is a way to change our instructional model. One of the things he talked about was the flip school, where the school time is where you're sort of working in very small groups with the teacher, working out sort of the homework part in the classroom, where you do the introduction of concepts online so students can, you know, hear it, maybe go back if they didn't get it the first time, listen again. And I'm wondering if that's something TPS is thinking about, especially once you get to a hybrid classroom. It sounds like with the small group sessions that you're going to have some of that in the classroom.
That is a great point. We have been really wanting to make sure that the practices that we're putting in place not only help us provide quality learning opportunities for our students and to make sure that they have access to quality instruction, but how do we capitalize and take advantage of some of the things that you're naming? You know, for our high schoolers, for example, this has presented a great opportunity to migrate and put in place some of the practices that we have been piloting through our project, our efforts on Tulsa Beyond, which is reinventing high school and how do we give kids more agency in their learning. And as you pointed out, like do more independent work combined with small group tutorials and one-on-ones with teachers where they're getting the feedback and the guidance, but they're advancing at their own pace, et cetera. And this, the pandemic has, you know, as we rethink how can we engage with our kids under the current conditions, it's open up a door to accelerate some of those things that we have seen to be successful in our Tulsa Beyond program and make them available more widely to our high school students across our high schools.
My guest today is Jorge Robles, the Chief Operating Officer of Tulsa Public Schools. As Tulsa Public Schools goes back to school virtually to start the year, of course, some students are doing the distance learning for the first 9 weeks. There'll be a decision at some point whether they'll come back for the second 9 weeks of the semester. Other students are using the virtual academy for the first semester. Are there differences between those two designs? Is the virtual academy getting a different style or differences in the instruction as opposed to distance learning for the first 9 weeks?
There are some differences, essentially, in terms of the virtual academy is a model where the students are setting the pace of the learning, so there's a lot more independent work and engaging with teachers in a different fashion that and distance learning the structure. It's more akin to to what they would experience in the school where they have, you know, class periods and they're going to engage in different ways, right? It could be independent work, but, you know, the first hour, you know, they would have math, and that math could be, for example, you know, it could be independent work or it could be a Zoom engagement with a small group or a Zoom class, et cetera, where in the virtual academy, kids would work more independently on how do they advance in the coursework. Now, what the instruction that happens in the virtual academy does stays aligned with the progress that in the expectations that we have in distance learning. In the event that students then return next year or mid-semester, that they would be in a good position to transition over. And obviously, both cases, distance learning and virtual academy, we're making sure that they're we're focused on preparing the kids and supporting them on meeting the academic standards that we're looking to.
I know a lot of I know a lot of parents are interested in knowing the timeline for making a decision about the second 9 weeks. Is there any public information about that? And what are sort of the thresholds that you're looking at to making a decision to come back either in a hybrid situation or complete in classroom learning?
Yeah, so we will continue to work closely with healthcare experts in the area. So the Tulsa Health Department has been a great partner, and we've been working closely with them. We expect to sometime in October that we will, we're monitoring conditions constantly, but it's in October when we're going to start looking at, what do we expect in the 2 to 3 weeks horizon, which is kind of where the models that Tulsa Health Department and healthcare experts feel confident around the outlook, and figure out whether the conditions are adequate for us to bring students back in person. We would obviously look at what is the rate of infection and cases in the Tulsa area. Are they consistently declining? Have they been declining? And what is the situation with hospitalizations? What is the situation with the availability of protective gear, and how is the progression of the rate of infection in our area? So we'll consider a number of factors. The information changes daily, but we, one, feel confident that through the strong partnership that we've developed, we'll look at the conditions and make a decision that will help us keep students and families safe. And what we keep telling Tulsans and our team members is that we all have to do our part. The best way to actually get us in a position where we can bring our kids back in person is for all of us to wear our masks, watch our distance, wash our hands, and observe sort of those basic, very essential practices that prevent the virus from spreading more.
All right. Well, we wish you great success with the start of the new school year. It'll be a very interesting year, and we wish you the best. Jorge Robles, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Jorge Robles is the Chief Operating Officer of the Tulsa Public Schools, as Tulsa Public Schools prepares to open their new school year virtually beginning on Monday. If you have questions about back-to-school events coming up at your school or meal sites for the continuing meal program, visit tulsaschools.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.